Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by The Isley Brothers, The Carpenters, The Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Please consider supporting Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. You can learn more about them at bwunited.ca. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. So please, again, support Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. Again, that website is bwunited.ca.
My name is Frank Silvestri. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, not a Canadian. And Philly's really close to New Jersey, by the way. And I'm here to talk to you about why I am a Patreon supporter of Vish Khanna's Creative Control podcast, the unique long-form exploration of music, comedy, art, geography, and so much more. Vish is an incredible interviewer who has a charming, disarming, funny, reverently irreverent style, which feels a lot more like a conversation with friends than a podcast interview. These conversations have included talking to people like Jeff Tweedy, Nels Klein, Ira Kaplan, Dan Romano, Carson McCone, the white hot lung Juliana Riolino, and one of my all-time favorites, the Sadies. So if you're like me and you find these kind of conversations vital, essential, and important, I hope you'll join me in supporting Creative Control on Patreon.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today.
Daniel Romano's Outfit is one of the world's greatest rock and roll bands, and they're primarily based just outside of Welland, Ontario, in Canada. The current configuration of the band consists of Daniel Romano, Ian Ski Romano, Carson McCone, Tommy Major, and Kenneth Roy Meehan, and their latest album is a stunning, revolutionary blast of punk-infused rock. It's called Too Hot to Sleep. It's out on March 1st, 2024 on You've Changed Records, and it prompted Dan, Ian, Carson, and Tommy to join me for a talk about this new version of The Outfit, which now has Tommy in the fold, and how it compares to the previous iteration of the band, notions of presence and what sleeping might mean in a time of great consciousness, songs like That's Too Rich, which delve into wealth inequality, classism, and human rights violations, the fascinating stories behind the band's new videos, her singles Chatter and Where's Paradise, unreleased and new music by The Outfit and Carson, touring, other future plans, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners just like you, who follow and subscribe to this donor-driven podcast and spread the word about it, and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol, which is the primary and most reliable way for podcasters like me to make a living doing this kind of work. This is my primary source of income as I'm speaking to you. So if you can support the show, please do at patreon.com/creativecontrol. You get ad-free versions of the show and lots of other perks. Check it out at the Patreon there. Thank you so much. With additional support from the fine independent record store Blackbird Music, which has bricks and mortar locations in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta, and a great website, blackbird.ca, where you can order records for yourself. They'll ship them right to your house if they got them. Say you want a copy of Too Hot to Sleep by Daniel Romano's Outfit. Go to the blackbird.ca site and clickety-clack onto your keyboard and type in Too Hot to Sleep by Daniel Romano's Outfit. They got it. Ship it right to your house. Just that simple. Plus in-kind support from the likes of Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee, respectively, in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario. This is episode 842 of Creative Control, featuring the best live band on earth, Daniel Romano's Outfit, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hello, Daniel Romano's Outfit. How's it going?
Hey.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Great.
Nice to see you all. I'm going to start with namesake there. Daniel, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You didn't ask me, but that's fine. That's just the way things go sometimes.
It's true.
Everyone assumes I'm fine.
Yeah.
haven't pulled that gag in a while where someone... I've joked about this. Sometimes people don't ask me how I'm doing, and I feel like I am being neglected. You know what I mean?
I'll be honest. You jumped on that pretty quick. You didn't leave much air.
That's true. I'm fine, by the way. Thanks for being on the show again. It's always a pleasure to have you on. How are you doing really, though, Dan? I know I asked perfunctorily. Are you doing well?
Yeah, we're sort of, you know, we're in between things, getting ready to be on top of things. And mm-hmm. it's kind of a strange zone, but moods are high. Energy is decent.
That sounds good. Where are you? I'm looking at my screen.
We're at the studio.
Right. And for those who don't know, the name of the studio...
Camera Varda.
Yes, very lovely. You guys put up that wallpaper yourself?
Yeah.
That's
among
nice.
Everything else that's up.
Did you guys put together your studio space by yourselves? What an odd question, but it's a very colorful wallpaper pattern, so I'm intrigued by it. Anyway.
Yeah, it's banana leaves.
Yeah, it's banana leaves. Very lovely. Yeah, it's nice. Also,
we didn't hire an interior designer.
No, we didn't.
Do you regret that? Do you think you should have?
I mean, no, I think we did a pretty good job.
No, it looks nice. I always like seeing it in photographs and videos, so it looks very nice. It's thanks for letting me into your space, by the way. Who else is here? Carson, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Nice to have you back on the show. We have some alumni here. How are you doing for real? You can expand upon it. Are things really good?
They're really good. Yeah, like Daniel said, we're sort of in between, but the release shows are upon us, and that's exciting. And I feel like, you know, we're stretching before the big the big run or something. And there have been like weird sprints sort of leading up to this point, and now we get to actually, like, you know, really do it.
Yeah.
So that's gonna feel really good.
Nice. Well, I'm glad spirits are high and you're revving up. That's great. Now we have a couple of people I don't think who have ever really been on this show, as far as I can recall, and maybe they'll correct me. I'm going to start with Ian. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing great.
It's really lovely. I'm fine too, by the way. It's nice to have on the show finally, Ian. Have we ever actually done a formal interview? I'm trying to think, like Attack in Black Days or anything like that?
I don't think so. We talked about it a few times when we were hanging out at shows, but I'm absolutely pleased to be here doing it right now.
Oh, it's lovely to have you. spirits high for you as well?
Yeah. Like everybody was saying, we're sort of in somewhat of the calm before the storm. We got our shows, release shows happening this weekend. So we're feeling good. We're practiced, and we're going to give it hell.
Nice.
I don't feel calm.
Sort of like anxious in anticipation.
Sure, yeah. Sure, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Calm before the storm is a bit of a misnomer generally, don't you
it
find?
Is.
Who's calm?
Usually it gets windy before the storm.
Yes.
It's like knowing the storm is approaching.
There's no calm. So. It's the opposite.
If anything, there's calm inside the storm, depending on what type of storm we're talking about.
Yeah, maybe
about.
We're actually in the eye and we don't realize it.
Yes.
And the back end of it's about to unleash.
Yes. Mm. How many shows, Ian, how many shows do you have lined up after, as people are listening, what is the date today? It's the 26th of February. So when you say you have shows coming up, what kind of run are you doing in the immediate future?
It's a shorter one. It's just four in a row: Windsor, Ontario; London, Ontario; St. Catharines, which is sort of the day of our official release, and then Toronto, which is, you know, sort of the party after party. And then the following week we have off, and then we go out with the Sheepdogs for a run.
I hope nobody actually parties.
You know what I mean.
What, you don't want people to party, Dan? What's wrong?
Well, other people can. I hope I'm not invited.
I see.
I'm partying.
I'm sure there will be some partying. And finally, on this call, Tommy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. It's very
I was going to say, for the record, I was going to ask you first, but you beat me to it. I'm well, though. Thank you very much.
I'm doing pretty well, Tommy. It's nice to have you on the show. And as we established just before we started rolling, I don't think you and I have ever interacted. Is that correct?
This is correct.
You're new to the outfit?
New to the outfit.
What's your background exactly? What, have you played in bands we might know?
Yeah, maybe. Tommy and the Commies, Young Gov. Those are probably the most notable, I suppose.
No warning. Oh, no warning.
No warning.
Yeah. It's nice. A hired gun type role.
So are you still in touch with, there's a commonality there, a fella named Ben Cook. Are you still in touch?
Yeah, absolutely.
Still in touch with Ben?
I was talking to him yesterday.
Now where
is
in the...
Is he mad at us?
Is he mad at you?
I think he's...
I think he's a bit upset.
I see. I see. So the last time I heard tell of Ben, he was, I think, in Mexico? Where in the world is Ben?
He is Portugal now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was he in Mexico? Did
Portugal
I hear that
by
wrong?
Way of
he was in Mexico. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Portugal by way of New York, by way of Coburg, by way of L.A., by way of Mexico.
Yeah.
Whoa.
By way of
That Coburg to Portugal commute is a tough one. I've done that. Yeah, it's
right.
A rough.
Right.
You got to take the 401 for a good chunk of time. It's horrible.
Oh, it's the whole thing.
I love Young Gov. Are you still an active member of that band in particular?
Yeah, I mean, the band itself is kind of inactive right now. Mm. I mean, for obvious reasons, and everyone kind of lives so spread out. But yeah, we have some stuff cooking that we kind of have on the back burner for when the time is right.
Yeah, and no disrespect and no warning either. I love all of Ben's projects, but there's a song off of one of the more recent Young Gov records. I think I spoke to Ben around the time it came out. Is it called? I don't think it's called Touch Me. That would be weird. Is it called that?
No, I don't think so.
It's like...
it doesn't ring a bell.
It's really catchy, and I don't want to recite the lyrics because I feel I'm going to get them wrong, but it's always in my head. It's rare. You know, I consume so much music. Sometimes things stay in there, and sometimes they float right out. But he's got hooks is all I'm getting at. That Ben Cook, he's really amazing. So,
Ben Hook.
Yeah, that's his nickname that I just came up with. Yeah. Anyway, it's a pleasure to have you all here. Thanks for making time for me. I think the thing we should address right away here, and I'll go to Dan on this, is a new configuration for the outfit. There might be people wondering,
yes,
where are the people I know? Dan, can you speak to this change in the outfit's outfit?
Yeah. People left, and now we have Tommy.
That's pretty much it?
Yeah, I mean... I think ultimately it's something that was happening for a while. I think they wanted to venture off and more or less do their own thing. And
Seems like Carson has something.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to jump in?
Was just going to say that, like, when you were asking Tommy about being a part of the outfit, I think Tommy's a new member of the outfit, but he's definitely not unfamiliar to the outfit.
Yeah, no,
and
true,
so,
sure.
You know, I think it sort of beautifully makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's a long history.
To have combined forces there.
Yeah, it was certainly magic from day one.
Yeah, it was very cool. And
he saved our asses, too.
That's true. At the midnight hour.
Oh. Tommy, you playing bass?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Not a bass player.
So, you're not a bassist?
But he is mm-mm. now.
I'm learning day by day.
That's all. I love stories like this where someone just joins a band and that's, when, you know, not on their primary instrument. That tells me that you're a good hang, probably. They wanted certainly you involved is. Because you're just fun to be around. Is that, Tommy, are you fun to be
and
around?
He's a musical
I don't know if
genius.
I can speak to that, but. He's definitely
like the most wonderful person.
He's a
to be
total
around.
Drag, but he's a really great musician.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to point out that I'd have played the kazoo if I was asked.
Yeah, you just wanted in on the outfit. Now Carson alluded to the fact that there is a long history between you, Tommy, and the outfit. But I mean, can you elaborate upon what that means? Because as far as I can tell, based on photographs, videos, and my own memory. I haven't seen you in the band before. What does she mean there when she says you got a long history?
I've known Dan and Ian for quite some time. They're one of their previous bands. Attack in Black would play in my hometown very often. So, and that's going back like, I don't know what, almost 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
Or something.
Oh, okay.
And then we'd run into each other on the road and
share
things
bills
like that.
Often.
Share bills yeah. And have a bunch of mutual friends, and so it just was kind of like a natural progression, I suppose.
I see. Where is your home?
Tommy has a very much a similar upbringing, as musical upbringing, and sort of like cognition as far as aesthetics and ideologies that we do, mm-hmm. and it's refreshing.
When you allude to ideologies, are you talking about punk rock, Dan?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, I gathered that. Tommy, where is your hometown?
Sudbury, Ontario.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're from away. Okay, all right.
Way up
so,
there.
So where are you living these days?
I live still in Sudbury.
What the heck? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's quite a commute.
It's not that far. It's not like New York to Lisbon far.
I was going to say, it's slightly shorter than
Portugal?
Yeah, that's right. It's slightly shorter than
The Ben Hook route?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you come down and practice like hell, and then you go back home after shows? Okay.
Yeah.
We don't really practice that much.
Oh, come on.
No, it was pretty crazy.
We eat pizza and
Tommy.
No, straight up, Tommy came, like those other guys left, and then we had like stuff the very next day, and we made that work or whatever, but we had shows in exactly a week. And so I called Tommy and was like, yo, you got any plans? You know, can you do this thing on an instrument you don't play? And he showed up.
He said, no problem.
We were like, oh, okay. So I don't know, like the show's this day. So if you want to come down like 3 days before, maybe we can powerhouse like a bunch of rehearsals or whatever. He's like, I feel like I'll just come like the evening before should be good. Before the show. I was like, okay, I like your style. I too don't like rehearsing. So, so he showed up. We ran the set once. He did it perfectly without any paper in front of him. And then we got pizza.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
That's exactly how it happened.
One of the lessons I've learned over time is that a guitar player will take up the bass and in a prominent, you know, a prominent band. So, Tommy, does it stand to reason that any dork can play the bass? It's the soup. It's like simple. Anyone can pick it up in 2 minutes. Is that what we're learning today?
Yeah, I think that's what it means.
I think it means a good guitar player can easily play bass.
Is
all
it
the best
like,
bass
like
players
a guitar.
Guitar?
All the best bass players are guitar players.
I'm being I'm being facetious, but Tommy, as a guitar player, like when you pick up the bass, like is your like you have to do things differently, obviously. But is it a weird adjustment to go from guitar to
my
bass?
My first thought is, damn it, this thing is big.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Could you get a smaller one? You could just get a smaller one.
I could, but that wouldn't look as cool, yeah, you know?
That's true.
Ian, I'm going to go to you on this because, you know, sure, we're joking around, but you you switch bass players as a drummer. Uh-huh. When a bass player leaves or whatever, you got to play with a new one. That's that can be tricky sometimes. How do you feel about it?
I got to say that, like, me and Tommy connected instantly over sort of how we view the songs, because my style is very much I'm going to play it different every show. Mm-hmm. A sort of like Ringo idea that there's going to be a fill there, but it's not going to be the same one. And Tommy plays the same way. Like it's
yeah, he's always searching.
Yeah, so it's sort of okay, opened up an aspect of the live show that I've honestly been looking for a while, which is just like pure
danger, baby.
Day-to-day inspiration and moving with if you hear something, like moving with that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's okay. It's the live show is much more free and experimental, and you know, it takes a person with a very high musicality and intuition and understanding in order to be able to pull that off bravely.
Yes.
Yeah, because traditionally the rhythm section has to be in lockstep, usually.
Oh, it's still in lockstep, but it's you know, it's creativity in motion.
Yeah, nice. So those of us who've seen the outfit over the last few years have become accustomed to an explosive live show, a lot of movement on stage. Carson, you, when I watched the outfit, you have this like almost stoicism compared to everyone else flailing about. Like, you're in there and you're rocking it, but I'm like, I find the whole band mesmerizing. I like watching each of you play. The stage show, since the shift in the lineup, how's that been for you? As someone, do you have to be more lively? You got to do anything different?
I would personally disagree with that statement.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second.
About
we have a debate.
About Carson being stoic.
Well, I just mean, okay, was that insulting? I didn't mean to be insulting.
No, I don't think it's necessarily insulting, but I think that she's working more than most of us, really.
Yeah. No. Let me get this.
I'm just trying to catch where Ski's going to land on the snare the whole time.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Just kidding.
That's what I mean. You seem like you're
Bobby
concentrating.
Keys.
You're
on. Oh, shit. We watched. What did we watch? That Stone
we,
Star
we watched
last
Stones
night.
In Exile last night, and Carson's like, am I Bobby Keys?
When are we going to get the scantily clad women in
yeah,
here?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, no.
Do I bring the hillbilly aspect to things? No, I'm stoic. I'm. No, I mean, I appreciate that. I don't know if I don't know. It feels really great and open and exciting, and
it feels like the ferocity is up like at least 100%.
Okay, so the ferocity
is
up.
Yeah, it's pretty
up.
Intense.
Yeah. All I'm saying is Carson to me is like the anchor in the storm. You know how we were talking about a storm earlier?
I agree totally with agree with that.
Yeah,
I do agree.
If I'm
somehow tambourine's still the loudest thing.
No, it's not. It's nothing to do with the tambourine. There's just something about the stage presence is what I'm really...
Yeah, yeah.
You can hear the beeping as I try to retract my statement. The reverse. What I'm trying to say is, no, I love it. It's just, it's nice. It's always been a nice dynamic because you had a couple people that were relatively still, even though they were frenetic and doing a lot. And then everyone else is kind of flailing about. That's all I was getting at. I hope that's not
totally,
inaccurate.
Yeah. Now it's more like everything is flailing.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is great. You guys sound like you're in a good show. And you've played some shows. How many shows have you played in this particular configuration there, Ian?
I honestly think six or seven, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's...
That's really why we're so looking forward to these shows, because like the shows have been so great,
yeah,
especially with the pressure of like... Okay, all of a sudden we need to shift a little bit here, and these shows are upon us, and they happened beautifully and last minute, but it's been like two shows here, three shows here,
yeah,
one show here. And so now it's nice to like, it'll be cool to get into that rhythm again,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm, yeah,
once we are
the second
able.
You start hitting your stride, it's torn away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have observed watching the outfit in recent years there, Tommy, that it's like a review. Like it barely stops. The songs interconnect and there's barely an applause time to applaud. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm applauding. I love to applaud. I love cheering and clapping. It's one of my favorite things. But is it still kind of a review, Tommy? Like are the songs kind of back to back to back?
I just treat it as one. I learned it as one entire song.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's still the case, Dan. It hasn't changed. The stage show hasn't changed so much.
It's tighter and faster and better.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the spirit of this, and I can't wait to... Are you guys... Oh, yeah. Sheepdogs. You coming to Edmonton there, Ski? You guys coming back?
We're not sure yet, because we were sort of routing around festivals, so we may be there in the summer, but
okay,
we'll find out soon.
Okay. Well, I'm just selfishly...
Are coming out west, though.
Okay. Wait. Okay, but you're going to avoid Edmonton just because of me? Because of my comment earlier about Carson?
No,
I didn't mean it.
No.
About Carson.
We're going to be out there in April. That should be announcing this week, but okay. Not necessarily in Edmonton, because I think we might be coming back for festivals.
Oh, okay, great.
The summer.
Great.
Yeah. Great.
Okay, I hope to see you guys soon. All right, let's dig into this record and Sleeping. I think I've talked to you guys in person, and I may have come across, as I often do, as an overbearing father. Because I look at your schedule and your touring, and I'm like, you guys okay? Are you guys going to be all right? It seems like too much. Get any rest? And then you got this record where sleep seems to be one of the thematic connectors there. Dan, what's your relationship like with sleep? And I mean, do you agree with what I'm saying, first of all? Does sleep feel like a major motif here?
Yeah, I can see that for sure. Unintentional. I don't think it was necessarily intentional, but it is in the title, so I guess I got to own up to that.
Well, I feel like it comes up in more than a few songs, too. Am I bonkers about this? Am I wrong?
No, that could be true.
To be in bed and sleep not.
Oh, yeah, right.
You got too hot to sleep, and then there's more sleeping here and
there's
there.
There's more sleeping. Yeah.
It's more like no sleep, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm very good at it. But I'm trying to get better at it.
Even in your anger, how can you sleep at night in the song All of the Above? So the sleep, I don't know. Sleep is something that...
Oh, interesting. So that's three songs.
There's a few songs where I keep hearing the word sleep. And like I say...
It's probably... this stuff got bashed out really fast. So I'm sure it's just like one basic idea peppered over 10 songs. You know?
Okay. Carson, are you guys tired? Are you sleepy?
We're sleepy. I mean, yeah, I guess so, but not. I mean, it's like exhausting, but it's all important and worth it.
Yeah,
I think.
I feel like I have more energy after shows than I have since I was like.
Yeah,
25.
It kind of engages you. You know?
Well, you gotta
say the same. I feel more tired when I'm at home.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
it's dragging.
Maybe
here.
That's the problem.
Well, nothing wires you more than a show. I mean, you play a show, you can't...
But I mean, there was some times in the last, like, year, 2 years or something where it just felt really sloggy after the shows.
Yeah.
Just like, I was just fully knocked out, basically. And the last few shows we've played have been just like, I have weirdly more energy afterward. And went way harder.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that's about, but I think it's probably good.
Well, you alluded to the fact that you kind of bashed out the songs. Are you including the lyrics in that bashing? Like, do they just come quickly?
As far as my process usually is, yeah, it was particularly not thought out. Mm. Just kind of smashed them in there.
Well, I don't mean to be reductive and just home in on the sleep part, because I think...
No, that's fine.
Well, it's an interesting time. We talk about being awake, and... Oh, sorry, I don't want to... You know, there's the connotation now of being... I sound horrible right now, and I don't have a fully realized thought, but there's
about
a lot
to
of...
politicize our album?
No, I don't mean that, but we... the fact that people have homed in on this phrase, to be woke...
Yeah.
And then I
yeah.
think about some of the, where I alluded to some anger on this record and where it's being projected. And I think there's some power dynamic structure stuff going on lyrically. And it's about being alert. I think you raise these notions to be like, maybe we should be a bit more aware, nay, awake to the nefarious machinations of technology and power structures. Is that swimming around in here, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, probably like less having to do with sleep, more having to do with being awake, but you have to get good sleep to be fully awake.
So, Part of being
right.
So part of sleeping, in the general sense, is yes, you get more energy and you get more rest, and your brain can function more. And so where I'm coming from with my English essay about your album is that maybe you're encouraging people to get sleep and supercharge their brains so they can deal with all the, you know, cognitive dissonance and bullshit we have to deal with every day. I'm going to go to...
I do think it's...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, so...
No, you throw to who you want to throw to.
Well, I was going to ask, Dan, I appreciate you speaking to this, but I thought I would move around the room a little bit.
Yeah,
to get different people's perspectives on the lyrics. Ian, you've been living with your brother's lyricism and songwriting ideas for a long time. You're a major collaborator. Do you have perspective, before we dig into this album, do you have kind of a perspective on your brother's approach to songwriting and your role within it?
Sure. I mean, I don't have much of a role when it comes to the lyrics. I have like a perspective on hearing them, and I think, you know, they can all mean different things to whoever is listening to him, and I certainly enjoy that kind of songwriting.
Yeah.
Not necessarily literal, but you can take parts from it as you will, and you know, you need to be present for that, and you need to have imagination as well. Yes, I mean, I certainly have a lot of opinions and you know, put my two cents in on when it comes to structure. I think some of that was probably semi-obvious in some of the differences if you listen to, you know, some of the live recordings versus the studio recordings. And kind of moving forward with that, Too Hot to Sleep is probably the one closest to the record being the representation of what the live show and those songs are.
Yeah.
Like you'll notice that those ones are almost presented exactly the same.
Oh,
true.
Yeah.
So sorry, you're saying that when all of us listening go to see Daniel Romano's Outfit live after this record comes out and you guys dig into these songs, they're going to be pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay.
So far.
And I think a lot of that has to do with just the way we end up arranging together, and you know, for like, there was a lot of thought into that particular album of how it will be presented live,
yeah,
and capturing that energy,
yeah, yeah. I want to get to that energy in a moment, particularly with the screaming. I think, Dan, this is some of your finest singing, if I may say.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really enjoy it, and I what Ian's alluding to. When people talk about the distinction between a produced album and the live show, I mean, they could mean all sorts of things, but among the things I think they're talking about is the intensity of the live show and the passion that can sometimes go in the live show because it's right there in the moment. Whereas a record, I guess we're kind of trained to think the record is a less intense performance of a song, which I don't know if there's anything to that. This is not that kind of record. It
feels like people think of it in a like a refinery type of way, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, this is the thing where you're just like, or maybe some people are still honing what it even is, and then it takes full shape after, unless you do it like Stone style, where you tour it first and then you start cutting it, which they didn't always do, obviously, but
yeah.
Like, that was like a, you know, that's an approach that we've always talked about doing but have never done.
Yeah, it's like the difference between trying to make the optimal version of the song. Like, a lot of people try to do that, and I think we were just trying to take a really good snapshot of where we were at in time.
Well, if I may add to this sort of allegorical discussion, I would say a record by Daniel Romano's Outfit is like seeing a polar bear at the zoo. And then seeing the band live is like seeing a polar bear in the wild. How about that? Does that make sense?
I like it.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. It's like seeing a band in the wild.
We put that on the hype sticker.
Yeah, if it's not too late, I think that's what
too late.
That's clearly that's. But that's everyone
that's
would
have been.
Anyone listening would agree. That's exactly. That was a perfect metaphor. I mean, there's nothing wrong. You can't beat that, Carson. No. I asked Ian about working with Dan and his perspectives on Dan because of their relationship as brothers, and you two have an intimate relationship as well. Does Dan bounce ideas off of you? Lyric ideas or anything like that?
Specifically for this record, I remember actually, if I'm remembering correctly, that I was away at the time. I was on a solo tour, and So I was getting, I remember like trying to plug my phone into the rental car because Daniel, you and Ian, I believe, went into the studio and cut 10 songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you sent me these instrumentals. And then.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I think.
Yeah.
And then I remember being on a plane and you sent me. And I can't, I'm trying to remember this, but I think you just sent, you started writing lyrics to these tunes. And so.
I don't even think I wrote things down.
Right. You may have just done it. I think I just. Like just sang
through
them.
The lip service, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I was getting these voice memos of, and it, they were so great. And I was so excited about them. I just felt like the songs were so immediate that obviously the energy instrumentally was that way. Musically, it was that way. But also, you know, lyrically, it's like accessible and exciting, but it's also, you know, quite deep and kind of, you know, you can get cerebral with it. But yeah, I just felt like the whole thing was very powerful. And it was really cool to be sort of on the, just like the receiving end of that session kind of, cause it did sort of happen outside of what we had, or I don't know. It was just a new way for me to hear these tunes.
Yeah.
So a bit in a kind of a removed way. I think this especially was a very intimate thing for Daniel and Ian to do. Mm-hmm. And then kind of to be on the other side and just be able to, like, you know, when you're really intimately involved with something, sometimes you can, not that you're not proud of it, but you can be a little bit sheepish about like standing up for it or cheering for it. And so I felt really lucky in this case, actually, to be able to just sort of be on, you know, I wasn't directly involved in those early days, and to be just like, wow, this is so powerful. I'm so excited about this. And like, just be excited for it.
I think you had a little more insight than we did to a certain extent, because we weren't necessarily going to put out this record. We were kind of simultaneously working on a few.
Yeah, and I remember.
Know you were championing it.
I remember being, we all went out to eat at that Thai restaurant. And like, I feel like I may have pissed you off at a certain point. But because I was like, I think I even conspired with Shannon. And I was like, okay, we should just say again, like, I think we really need to give this record a time of day. It's like, this one should come out first, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
you were right.
You're right.
Well, I don't know if I was right, but I felt very confident in championing the record. And perhaps that is because of, you know, how I received it initially, because I wasn't, you know how that can happen sometimes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if that is, you know, a roundabout way of saying, but it was a new way for me to receive this music, and I was excited about it. And then ultimately, I was involved with it, but, you know,
right. Kind of
from the outside in.
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel and I have talked about this before, his Jay-Z approach to singing, where he doesn't write things down. Only rocker to rewrite history without a pen. Is that how we could describe you, Dan? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So that can go on the hype sticker, too. I'm just a hype sticker man today.
We also don't use auto-tune.
Yeah,
that's true. We also don't use auto-tune.
Death to auto-tune. Before I go to Tommy on his perspective on, you know, 20 years of hearing Dan's songs and maybe pondering his aesthetic, just to go back to my question, Carson, you get the voice memos, you get the stuff. Does Dan ever ask you for your opinion about what he's singing about? I almost said writing. Singing about, or within that, do you opine and say, I would use the word sleep a few more times? Do you say stuff like that?
Every sleep you put on the record, that was me.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think it just depends with every kind of project. I mean, whether it's lyrics or, I mean, also, I feel like y'all know me. I'm pretty vocal with my opinion, and I think we're all getting used to how we, like, give each other opinions.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sometimes. I mean, I remember on the boat more recently, you were working on stuff. We were kind of working on stuff side by side, and we'd be like excited to show each other things. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
I feel like more comfortable with this group of people as far as like sharing. Share the load.
Well, I think it depends. Like something like Too Hot to Sleep, like I said, Vish, and like you've heard, it's this immediate thing. And like Daniel said, he kind of bashed this stuff out. It was almost like stream of consciousness sort of thing. Not that you hadn't been ruminating on these topics, but like that stuff came out. But for other projects, you know, if you're working with words, there have been times when you're really trying to get down to the essence of something. And so that is really important to you, and you will take more time and you will bounce it off of different people and like edit, you know.
Well, even the writing on the essay or whatever.
Yeah, on the back of the record. Album,
that took a long time.
Totally. That was a completely different thing.
And ended up throwing that to, I think, our mutual friend, Damian Rogers.
Hmm.
And she helped me quite a bit with refining that. Yeah. Also my mother-in-law, I believe, and Carson. Likely. Yeah.
Okay, so Dan, is this a newer development for you to reach out and ask for opinions?
It kind of just felt like, I mean, like I have deep admiration for Damian, and I had just done a tarot reading with her.
Oh.
And so it was fresh in my mind. And I think I had discussed what I wanted to do as far as where that was going to go. And she just helped me with the voicing of it and the perspective and things like that, and was very encouraging and kind.
Yeah, you've been into tarot for a while, right?
Yeah, I dig it.
And is it it helps? What is it? How does it help you? I'm just curious. This is a bit of a tangent.
I think it's just a good way to steer a conversation. Really, I think it's. I believe in everything. So.
Right, you believe in.
So careful what you say.
You believe in everything. Ian, are you into the tarot?
I'm into hearing what Dan has to say about it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
that's good. Hey, thanks for listening to Creative Control, as always. As you may have heard me mention, I recently lost my day job, and I've had a few conversations with people since who've said, you had a day job? I thought your podcast was your day job. When I explained why it hasn't been my day job to a friend, he suggested I should share some of this information with people like you listening right now. So, in short, unless they have some giant exclusive million-dollar contract, podcasters are not paid to make stuff by companies like Apple and Spotify. Podcasters do not make any money from streaming royalties. Ad revenue is dependent on a certain threshold of downloads each month, and even if your show is accessed 30,000 times a month, the income you get is actually really minimal. So podcasters like me usually make time in our lives to support our communities and our interests to make these shows, and our most reliable source of income for this work is in fact crowdfunding. In my case, it's my Patreon. So if you'd like to receive ad-free episodes earlier than everyone else, regular newsletters and blog posts, bonus audio content, and support my work, quite literally, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. Well, I want to go back to Tommy here. So, yeah, Tommy, you again, long time history with Dan and his music, even though you're relatively new to the outfit. Do you have a perspective on the kinds of things he tends to write about, or as you live with these new songs, do you have a perspective on maybe, you know, where he might have been coming from? We've alluded to a couple of things already.
I don't particularly know if I could speak to the new ones, only because I'm just trying to remember the lyrics as I am able to sing them.
Yes.
You know, I haven't really, like, internalized them so much as just trying to remember, like, the few lines that I sing. Hmm. But, yeah.
Okay.
I think they're brilliant. But no, maybe I have to dive a little deeper into them, I suppose.
Fair enough.
I got a lot going on, you
well,
know.
Well, it's yeah. still new.
He's still got, yeah. yeah.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot either there. I just feel, and Dan, I'll go to you on this. I alluded to the screaming. This seems like a lively and empowering record, and one that will you know, get people moving, I suppose, in a club and at a show. Does it feel particularly? I don't know why I'm talking like this, guys. I sound like a hype man from the 50s or 60s. It's going to get people moving and grooving.
They're going to be bopping.
Does it feel particularly angry, though, in some regards? From your perspective, Dan, you seem a little. The screaming is amazing. Like, it's some of my favorite screaming I've ever heard, and I just wonder what inspired that, and maybe following that.
I was just sort of following the energy of what we had put down instrumentally, I think, and I was feeling like I wanted to experiment, having just done the, you know, having off the heels of La Luna. It was just feeling like. I wanted to do something different and more immediate, less of a sort of toiling and more of a sort of presence. And I don't know. I mean, it was really just experimentation. And there was some, I know, you know, I think the reason we all do this thing is to turn our inevitable anger into something useful.
Yeah. Can we talk
not harmful.
Yeah. Can we talk specifically about the song That's Too Rich?
Yeah.
Because outside of it having a pretty theatrical arrangement, it has this amazing breakdown that I enjoy. It makes me think I'm at a play. But the sentiment of that song, can you just talk about it a little bit? What inspired that one?
Obviously, wealth inequality, I would say, and just the people's obsession with money as the only definition of success or structure or security, and of course the problem that the, you know, very few richest people in the world make all the decisions, all of which seem to be really terrible and against humanity.
That's quite a nutshell statement there. That is fascinating. Ian, you have a bit of an administrative role in this band, is that correct?
Yeah, a little bit.
He's full admin.
I think we all chip in. I do stuff.
Yeah, when I hear song, like, I appreciate Dan's explanation there about maybe what motivated that particular song, but there is a bit of a revolt against technology on this record here and there. Ian, you have to use it. These machines we use. Mm-hmm. Is it any easier or more? You've had an admin role in your life with Dan there for a long time. Is the current landscape any easier to navigate as someone trying to book shows and get the word out and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I think in a lot of ways that there's more opportunity for everybody than there ever has been, and it's easier to do than ever, but that also makes it so there's a lot more people doing it. So that's good and bad, you know?
Yeah.
I also think, though, that it's completely removed of the community aspect that there used to be in that arena, in that environment, where there was a lot more one-on-one communication as far as, like, people on the ground in any given city and stuff, which is the way we sort of grew up with it, you know.
Yeah,
we're trying to get back to that more and more, like for as much as we organize on the internet, we're really trying to make it a point to connect with not only the audience but you know, other bands we play with, and try to curate that a little more. There's a lot of really, really great rock and roll bands right now, and, well, just bands in general.
Yeah.
And you know, we want everybody to see a great show top to bottom.
Yeah, and I appreciate the kind of IRL sentiment you're expressing. Kind of with that song and maybe a couple others on this record, I feel like they're part of a more recent discourse in terms of people actually examining what we're using the ecological impact of all these devices we use.
Yeah,
you're talking about the kind of emotional and mental impact. But I also think there's a weird, it's not weird maybe, but I don't know if you relate to this, Dan, but there seems to be a budding resentment of the convenience. I don't know how else to put that. But like,
yeah, I mean, I totally know what you're saying, and I feel that, and it feels, I don't know, there's a certain natural grounding that is absent from things like that. Like I really hate Pro Tools, for an example.
Yeah.
I don't want to use things that I have to like look at while also trying to listen and things like that. You know, and it's not like, you know. No slag on people who enjoy sensory overloads, but I think for focus and attention and that kind of thing, I don't like relying on a machine I don't understand.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
you know, and maybe I mean obviously that's from an ignorant perspective, but I do understand at least the basics of magnetic tape and what knobs do and faders do on a console, and you know, this sort of digital versions of those pretty much only make me angry.
Yeah,
it makes me think of our friend Dallas Good saying when the like loading bar, like when something's like whatever, if you're exporting something and it's the blue bar that loads across, and he called it hairy blue bar because he'd always yell. Hairy blue bar, like hurry up.
Yeah. Carson, do you have a perspective on what we're talking about and this song in particular? Because Dan's alluding to the kind of like practical resentment. I'm talking about how we're kind of like, we kind of resent, I think, and not everyone does this, but universally we're starting to resent that we've put ourselves in these modes to like check our phones all the time and use all this stuff. And then, you know, in this song, there's the disparity between the people who make money off of all of us making stuff and using their stuff and being billionaires, while we, you know, they've like kind of treat us like children. Take your toy and be docile. do you have any particular perspective on this as an active musician who has to kind of, you know, promote yourself and do all that kind of stuff with these tools?
Yeah, I mean, this is like, just my perspective, but I think there is something that's pretty insidious about stuff like that. That is like, here, this makes your life so much easier, and like, this is, things will be more convenient this way. And like, I think that there are things that can complement one's life and community in that way. But I think there's a lot of stuff because it is convenient to integrate into your everyday life that like those things can be, like I said, pretty insidious and like you don't even notice sometimes.
Yeah. It's like convenience to what end? That's
yeah.
The
and thing. I think it's a short-sightedness that like, not that we don't need help in those aspects or those areas, or we should be more efficient in this way or that way. But like, I think the convenience over, like, what does efficiency actually mean, and when can it actually burden everyone in the long run, and, you know, the whole planet. But I will say to this song, too, like, they're calling things out, these songs, but they're still open enough to be able to, you know, apply to different lifestyles or different kinds of people. And we started doing this song live when we did this long run with Vanille, and mostly in the US, and like as an American and as a woman doing this song at like from the top of that tour, with the breakdown and everything, it's like, I feel it's very cathartic for me to sort of yell and say directly and point a bit and use it for myself, you know, for my own catharsis, especially like going into the States. And I think, you know, at the time, like Roe v. Wade had just been overturned, and it's, you know, that's like, it's sort of in a different direction, but about the same song. So like I said, you know, you can take take little bits and pieces of the lyrical content and apply them wherever you need catharsis. But yeah, so that's my two cents.
I really appreciate you pointing out this sort of tangential call for revolution in this same song where I've taken it one way. May I recite the breakdown? Does anyone feel uncomfortable if I actually say this?
Yeah, go for it.
So if I have this correct, it's, "Now listen, mister, we're just playing not to lose. You took away our right to choose. Whose hard work is this? Whose culture? Whose bliss? Who works your wars? Who bears your disgrace? There's nowhere left for us to even spit but in your face." That's the end of my poetry reading. I hope everyone enjoyed that. Thank you very much.
You did great. Yeah. Nice pacing.
So Dan, did you craft this or for everyone?
Yeah.
Okay. So is what Carson's alluding to maybe what inspired this passage?
Definitely. I mean, we're always, you know, we're always talking about all this stuff, right? So, yeah. I mean, and it's not, I don't know, it's interesting. I felt compelled to write it or whatever, but it didn't feel like necessarily mine to say.
Yeah.
And that's sort of just how it went down.
Yeah. I appreciate it. So, Carson, this is primarily you now at the in the live show, right? I'm guessing?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's I get to sort of play around with it, you know. It's really powerful when it's everybody singing and saying stuff together, but then can be powerful in a completely different way when you're alone with it and you can sort of play with the phrasing and stuff. So I've leaned into that a little bit, I think. But yeah, I mean, I think it's like, to me, it's interesting because the record is like political, but when we say political, it's like sort of like you're choosing sides. Like when I talked about, when I brought up like Roe v. Wade or whatever, you know, certain bills or acts or whatever, like it's not so specific as that, which I think is the beauty of something that is truly like political is not the right word. It's
pro-human.
Yeah. Well, it's just maybe proactive, you know, I'm not sure, but we got to come up with a different word maybe. Yeah.
I think it's, I know this might seem lofty, these feel like revolutionary songs, like songs you would write to foster change and get people thinking and to revolt, if I may. Is that
you
a better
may.
Word?
I feel comfortable with that. Yeah.
Can we update the hype sticker at this point so that it's just everything I've said?
Yes.
Ian, I've alluded to anger and the screaming, but what I really wanted to get to was that notion of revolution, because this feels like by the second song, Dan, I get lazy and I think I mention other bands and stuff, but like when this album gets going, it reminds me the most of like MC5 or something more than
Perfect.
Anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Although like there's some, I mean, you guys know I love the Ramones, so I hear that everywhere I go.
Yeah.
I hear them, but the MC5 sort of approach, I don't know. I just heard it more. I felt the vibe. I felt the...
Yeah, it's sort of immediate, scrappy, and loose as their seminal records were, for sure.
And yeah.
The same sort of... I think it's... Yeah, I mean, different time, same bullshit.
Yeah, trying to capture the humanity.
Yeah.
Well, where's Paradise in particular, for some reason, just blasted out to me as, like, that's a vibe that I could pick up on. Anyway, Ian, if I invoke revolution... after mentioning the intensity and passion, does that resonate with you? Does this feel like a call to arms more than... I feel like every record's a bit of a call to arms. It gets me thinking anyway, but does this feel particularly like, hey, wake up, everyone?
It's probably a call to disarm.
True.
Yes, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I definitely think so. On a multitude of levels, one way I take it is just about being present as well. And also, wealth is not culture. And people should get their heads out of their asses.
Yeah, as a newly unemployed person, I'm starting to adopt that philosophy just to keep sane as I ponder ponder my family and trying to, you know, support them. Like, what am I doing? But anyway, I feel like a bit of a selfish man baby at the moment because I'm just like, I just want to do my show, and yet I have these little people I have to take care of. Anyway, that's an aside. I want to ask about Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet for just one moment. And I don't know if this is going to resonate with anyone here. Dan, are you a particular fan of that band?
Yeah, of course.
So I'm listening to You Saw Me in Sunshine. It's got these amazing vocals. I love all your little ad-libs and oohs and whatnot. It's got a great attitude. Mm-hmm. Can we just talk about the ending of that song for one quick second? This is a really wild tangent that no one might get in this room right now, but is there a little Shadowy Men illusion at the end?
That's entirely possible. Unintentional, but I'm trying to think of what the end of that song sounds like.
Ba, 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 ba. I don't know. It just reminds me. Could be the end of Having an Average Weekend, even, like their most popular song from the Kids in the Hall theme.
Yeah.
But that song's really beautiful. Sorry, this was one of my things where I stab at something, and then someone's like, nope, not even close. We weren't thinking about that at all. But
that's the beautiful subjectivity of music.
So, sorry. Ian, are you a fan of that band?
I love that band. We played with them. We were fortunate to play with them when they first did their reunions. And so I'm sure it's in there. I do like them very much.
Yeah.
Carson and I just recently went to Dawn's book release, too, at the Knack in St. Catharines, which was lovely. Incredible.
Okay, so this is Swimming Around. Maybe there's some Shadowy Men just... I guess
well,
it's an all...
Like, we grew up with Kids in the Hall, so it's in there.
Yeah.
It's all in there.
You know, I didn't mean to neglect you there, Tommy, because we were talking about the internet and how bullshit some of these things are, the devices and stuff. You live in Sudbury, so you're a little remote on some level. Is that a fair assessment?
I suppose, from, an outside perspective. To me, it's the center of the world most days.
But I mean, to be in a place that some might consider remote, the internet, you have a different relationship with the internet, I would think. Do you use it a lot? Do you feel like you're connected to the world?
Yeah, I don't use it, as well as I should or for any good. I think I'm like mildly addicted and doom scroll but I don't know. I'm also like pretty technologically inept. I can like check my email and that's like the extent of it, really.
That's all you need.
Do you have a telephone that you use?
I have, like a cell phone or like a landline.
Well, I just call them telephones. You got a telephone?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so you're not...
Do you have a camera phone?
Sometimes we
speak
on the phone.
I feel like calling it a telephone might speak to the age range of your audience.
Yeah, totally.
Well, it's funny. I was watching your video for Chatter.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about these videos now, actually. This is a great. This is a good segue. Yeah. So I'm watching the video for Chatter, and for those who haven't seen it, I'll do a link in the show description, but... ostensibly, it's the band. And so, who's the other person? Ian, who's that other person in the video that isn't in the band?
That's my partner, Shannon.
Oh, there you go. Okay, sorry about that. Yep. I don't know. I think I met Shannon once. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, I'm really putting my foot in my mouth here today. I'm sorry, everyone. But
it's all good.
Anyway, so the premise of the video is you're talking about it's a depiction of people on the phone, but you're actually using old school landlines, the old school phone. And I thought, Dan, there's going to be people in your audience that probably doesn't even know what the hell that is. I've never seen a thing like that before. Do you think that's possible?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So why did you... It's a great video, and I don't know how you managed to pretend to play... Man, remember we used to have to do that? Cradle the phone in your neck and your shoulders?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And you do it for hours.
I mean,
yeah.
I still had a landline till not that recently, and one of those phones is the phone that was my phone.
Right. Because my most recent landlines from many years ago were like the cordless ones.
And
you guys have the actual call. So what, I mean, I guess it's partially the song itself, but who wants to speak to the direction of that video? Carson, do you remember how that video came about? How it was conceived?
No, I don't know if I can remember. I was just trying to think, like, is there a way I could, like, sort of mime holding the phone while playing tambourine and singing? No, this is ridiculous. I don't know. I think just probably, I mean, now we're going to like wax poetic or something, but the idea of Chatter, I guess, and like that it...
Like the party line concept, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, even though maybe like rotary phones are like for dinosaurs, to some people, it's like, that stuff was going on then too.
Gossip.
And all that,
the
we have like
tradition.
Exactly. It's not going anywhere. And we're all sort of tied up in it. I don't know.
Oh,
timeless problem.
Yeah,
kind of a pun.
I could say that visually speaking, though I wasn't there, I mean, it would look really lame with iPhones.
Yeah. You wouldn't even know.
True,
that.
Yeah,
Tommy.
But what, that's an interesting to think about, right? Why do we feel that way?
Wait, what aspect, that it would look weird with the modern technology?
That, like, we associate modern technology looks with being uncool.
Yeah.
Probably because it's built by billionaire posers.
Yeah, it's not made to look cool. It's made to be efficient.
Functional.
Yeah. And functional, yeah.
Well, whenever I see...
It's void of cables and color.
It's the modern gray walls of technology. Yeah.
But does it not... Obviously, when you center a video around an old piece of technology, you're invoking a different time. And in some ways, you can be critiquing that time. This feels almost like a comforting invocation of the way things used to be. Although the song itself, I think, is really about gossip, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, which I think is a timeless
Yeah, but, and it can... But I think, like, it can feel safe, right? Like, the way that, like, oh, we're throwing it back, you know? Like, this is safe. It's familiar. And it's, like... Is it?
No, people are still going to take whatever information they got and go tell somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know... Anyways, I think it's sort of ultimately kind of cheeky, but... can be taken seriously too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but gossip nowadays seems to occur more indirectly. Subtweeting people, you know, or whatever, like, you know what I mean there, Dan? Like, it's not as direct.
I genuinely don't know what that is that you just said, but I'm sure that there are dark corners that people do stupid stuff.
I can explain it in a nutshell, and it's not just for Twitter. But to subtweet someone is to basically talk about them without directly addressing them to anyone. Like, talking about them publicly by being,
right.
like, but without
but
saying,
their,
but not to them, but also without even saying their name.
Oh, you're describing cowardice.
Yes, I am describing cowardice. So it's talking about a situation and critiquing someone essentially and gossiping about them without ever referring to what you're referring to specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a bit. That's not the same thing, but that happens more, you know.
Right.
This is why people, if you ever...
So, implying who you're talking about, but never directly saying
that's
it.
Right. But often saying something pretty incendiary or whatever, you know.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
so that is a weird... Even gossip has evolved, I would say.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
if you go to one of those posts on any social media platform where someone is subtweeting someone... In the comments, invariably, people will say, I don't know who you're talking about. Name a name. And people rarely do. So you're right. It is cowardice. But it is... Sorry, your song reminded me a bit about that. Like, how we actually talk about each other to one another and how it works. It's almost quaint. So, it's interesting. I also want to talk about a video that I feel like, it, as we're speaking, did you guys just put out a video today, Ian?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
And what's the video? What song is it?
It's Dan bailing super hard on a skateboard in slow motion.
Yes.
This song is called Where's Paradise?
Yes. Just wanted to get a...
The song is called Dan...
Song title is Dan bailing super hard on a skateboard.
It's a great, great song title. Very evocative. This is a really fascinating video. Dan, you're skating, boarding forever. And then there's an altercation. And I found it really interesting. Tell us more about this video and one of the key stars of it I found intriguing as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
We going to tell the whole story?
Tell the truth.
Yeah, go for it.
Tell the truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the
that's
truth.
That's right.
Okay. So we kind of had this idea to all roll together and you wanted it to be a skate video, kind of. And so, like, initially... Our buddy Seb was in town to make these videos with us. He filmed it. And so we all piled in the van and drove down to, like, a quiet country road not far from where Daniel and I live. And just started, like, pulling over to the side of the road. And it's, like, a quiet road, right? On one side, there's a graveyard. And on the other side, there's, like, an empty park. And so it was kind of, like... I'd stay to one side with hazards on, and then we were, what's this angle like, getting Daniel to skate towards us or away from us, or we drive kind of on the opposite side of the road.
And Seb was hanging out the back of the van.
Yeah, and so anyways, we were doing this, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this woman pulls up, and she had her phone out, and she was filming, and I was driving.
Also, I was dressed like a vampire.
That's true. At the time, you were dressed as a vampire.
I had a black cape and my face was white and stuff.
Yeah, so we were like, it was also near, it was like.
Round one of making the video.
It was like around Halloween, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally not sus.
No, it was like cute. We were like, obviously a bunch of kids like making a cute video. And
38.
I was, well, yeah, but you're dressed up. You're, you know, anyways, that was obvious.
Never too old to have fun.
That's right.
So I was like parked with my hazards on and this woman rolls up. And so I like have the window roll down. And I'm like sort of peek over. She just has her phone up filming me and Seb, who's in the passenger seat with his like actual camera.
Yeah.
And she just starts yelling at us. And I thought she was going to be like, hey, what are you guys doing? This is cool. Can I like watch or something? Yeah. And anyways, it just turned into this like bizarre thing. She actually literally said, oh, you guys must be from across the highway. Like Highway 20 runs by our house and it's like one side is this way and the other side is that way. And I was like, wow.
What are the what are the ways?
Like the wrong side of the tracks.
To paint the picture too, these are, it's like out in the country, but these are all like huge, like mansions.
Ex-hippie warmonger.
Yeah,
types.
Just like people that don't want to be around regular people.
It was so crazy. And yeah, she basically told us that she was going to call the cops. And we were like, what's going on? Like, it was so crazy. And then we finished, like, we did the thing. She drove off eventually.
Stormed off.
And then we kind of were like, okay, well, that's totally ruined the vibe. But I think we have stuff to work with. And Daniel and Seb and Kenny went... No, yeah, we brought it back to our place and we were like editing the video. This is now like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. The sun's down. And all of a sudden, the cops show up at our house.
God.
She called the cops on us, gave them our license plate. And I will say this, the guy that showed up was like obviously embarrassed that he was having to like carry
probably
out
embarrassed because he's a cop.
Well, let's hope. But he was like... yeah, some it was so crazy. And like, we didn't really get what we wanted. And then we were just like, wait a minute, guys, what is this song? Hey, Where's Paradise? Like, we're making a music video. Like, this is the video. This is the video. Like,
yeah, creativity shut down by Karen.
Exactly. It was so bad that it was good. And it was like so perfect that it was for that song. So then we decided we had to actually do that for the video, and so we did.
The bail is not intentional.
The bail
is a real
bail.
Yeah, you don't look like you're in good shape during the slow mo bail. I'll say that.
No, it's bad. I was like, I can run this out, and then I couldn't run it out.
Oh my god, I'm so,
it was,
well,
it's a lot faster than it looks.
I was talking to
slow mo and all.
Bail videos are about the most popular aspect of skateboarding videos on some level. So. In some ways,
I prefer when they land it.
Yeah, well, I do, I do too. But I was just watching. Have you ever seen that Welcome to Hell?
Yeah,
yeah. So I was watching the bail portion not too long ago, and you're just like, and people are really seriously injured. But and then anyway, sorry. Okay, so you reshoot the video ostensibly, and then you have a special guest star. Ian, can you tell us more about the special guest star?
Yeah, we immediately called. Mine and Dan's mother to portray Karen.
Yeah.
And she did a great job.
She did. Real now, natural.
What is, did she have to act or was that a familiar scene for you, Dan?
It harkened back for sure. But, but no, she's a real natural. You know, she was a school teacher and then a principal for a long time. So she knows how to point her finger angrily.
That was great. I mean, I feel
she
like.
She was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Gemini Award level, if I may say.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We might be able to, you should apply. So I will say to the woman who confronted you, if you're driving down a road and you're between a park where kids congregate and skateboard and a cemetery, and then you see a vampire skateboarding, I'd freak out too.
A big white van driving backwards.
yeah, exactly. I would film all of it.
It
like
was
some...
so non-threatening.
Yeah.
We were so cute. And sweet, and I literally thought she was going to stop and be like, hey, what are you guys doing? Like,
we live in a bubble.
I don't know.
Carson, most people see a vampire skateboarding down the road, they're at least calling the, you know, they're calling their dad or somebody. Like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. Help me. You know, this is not usual.
Help.
So I'm just going to take her side in this argument for now. But also, she sounds awful. I'm sorry that happened to you, but I'm glad you were able to make hay of this. So listen, I feel like we've covered a fair amount of ground here, all over the place. But I hope I've conveyed how special this album is, and it's great to see the band reconfigured and all that kind of stuff. Dan, is there anything more you want to cover before we leave? Wrap this up.
I feel pretty good about it. I appreciate your time and thoughtful questions.
Oh, I appreciate that too. Anybody, Ian, anything more you want to say?
This is just looping back into kind of what we were talking about. I guess overall themes, you know, one being present, but you know, there's something to me about, you know, when we put on the show and it's basically one song. I think there's like a certain sense of asking the audience to be a part of it and to be present in that. And, you know, I guess we ask a lot of them. And thanks, because it seems like y'all like it. And there's going to be a lot more of that.
Appreciate that.
I think we harness a nonverbal communion, which I think is more impactful, and also it sort of alleviates any sort of weird hierarchy, despite the fact that there's staged and non-staged people. I think that sharing, you know, music in that sense without conversation is a special thing that happens between us and the audience. And I don't want to speak for the audience, but I think that that's a sort of interesting synergy, for lack of a better word, that engage with.
You don't do a lot of bantering, do you, Dan?
We don't talk at all, no. Yeah. I'm not interested.
You just play one long song. Yeah.
One long thing, yeah.
Yeah. Tommy, I feel like you got short shrift here today.
And, that's fine. I've been told I'm a great listener.
Excellent. Excellent listener. I will confirm that this is the case. I do this all the time. You listen like no one else. I appreciate that. Did you have anything?
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Do you have anything further you want to say about being in the band or anything coming up?
I'm just excited to get going, you know?
Yeah.
It's been, like it was mentioned, we've been just doing like one-off gigs, so to get rolling is going to be exciting, and can't wait to get going.
Nice. Very, very well put. And finally, Carson, anything more you want to say about this record or anything we haven't covered or anything like that?
I love this record, and I'm very excited for it to be out in the world. I hope that people will celebrate it as we do. And the live show, I think definitely has felt that way, like a communion and like a celebration. So
nice.
Yeah, we'll see you there.
Yeah, appreciate that. Ian, I think Carson alluded to the fact that you were working on other records as you were making this one. And I think I read possibly two other albums specifically, or maybe Carson said that. Can you, as always, every time Dan's on, we get some exclusives. We find out there's more music coming. What's going on with those records and anything else?
At this point, they're shelved. We'll see if they find the light of day.
No.
Probably not. Yeah, we're
onward and upward.
Yeah, we're always recording. We're always in that zone, but I think we're a lot more focused on what feels right, because we certainly don't have to be releasing records every 2 seconds. So I think it's a lot more into what we really feel is going to be great.
Well, and when your band gets a million times better, you just want to put out new stuff.
Yeah.
I see. The old stuff was with the older configuration?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but Dan, if I may, when you say, you immediately said, nope, those aren't coming out. Were there vocals on them?
Yeah, they're completely done.
So the lyrics, everything was done, and you're just not going to put them out? Are you going to repurpose any of that stuff, even the lyrics?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I don't feel necessary. That's necessary. I feel like the newer ideas are the better ones, as it usually goes, and it happened. It was a, you know, it was a good process and all of that, but I don't think it needs to be public.
Fair enough. Have you, since the reconfiguration, have you been writing and recording since then?
No recording yet, but we do have some time slotted for that and a few things. I think we're just going to go in and see what happens. That's okay. That's the new approach, you know. I feel comfortable with this group of people to completely share the entire experience and throw things around, which is an incredible feeling. I haven't felt it since Attack in Black, so I'm very excited for that.
Oh, nice. That's great to hear. We're missing Kenny, though, aren't we? Kenny's usually... Yeah. Kenny,
he agrees.
For those who don't know, Kenny is in the outfit, but what is his role exactly, Dan?
Spiritual advisor, hugger, engineer, obviously. That's his actual main job, is engineering the live show and recorded music and all of that type of thing.
Yeah. Do you find, Ian...
He's a member.
He's a member. He's just not here today. Ian, do you find that you learn things and teach things to each other? Because I noticed Kenny has picked up a habit that I associate with the Romano brothers, in that he stopped texting me diligently. So I usually I will text a Romano brother and get nothing for months. And Kenny started doing it, and I'm like, oh no, they got him.
Yeah.
Because Kenny used to be on it. I'd be like, hey Kenny, can you do me? And oh yeah, here, blah blah blah. And now I like he hasn't. He owes me a text. I don't know if he's going to hear this, but he hasn't responded.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's happening. So do you feel like you're feeding off each other in a horrible?
It's all going to be on Tommy pretty soon.
Yeah. I didn't know you were going to go there.
We'll give you Tommy's number. He'll be good for a while.
I'm sort of joking, but no, I'm obviously being a jerk. But I'm trying to suggest that it's a mutually. Well, I don't know if it's beneficial is the right word, but you're mutually working with each other and feeding off each other in terms of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The way I see it is, you know, as time goes on, you make more records, and then you sort of ask the question, like, what is the next thing to do? And it seems like the theme moving forward for a little while, but especially now, is I think we're just all really inspired by each other.
Yeah.
And that is what we're going to go in with on the next record, and I think is very clear live, especially.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Carson, as you know, I'm a big fan of yours as well, and your last record, it was nice to talk to you about that last record. Are you working on new stuff on your own?
Yeah, I am. In fact, this crew here, and Kenny and Will sort of oversee this stuff as well. But this crew and I went and cut a handful of tunes like a week and a half ago or something.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so I think those will see the light of day sooner than later. I have a full-length LP also that is in the works, which I'm very excited about, but is going to be more of a slow burn.
The beds are tracked.
Oh, yeah.
oh, nice.
But, yeah, so I did... A small collection of tunes with the outfit here as the band, and there was some allusions to other bands, and there's some covers here, and so I hope that you like them.
I'm sure probably will, knowing me and knowing you. So that's exciting. That's great. Okay, so
yeah,
this record is going to be out. The new one, I mean, the outfit record. Is going to be out very soon as people hear this. It's called Too Hot to Sleep. It's on You've Changed Records. Where can people go to learn more about the comings and goings of the outfit? I'm going to go to the admin on this one. Ian,
good call.
Ian, where would you like people to go?
Yeah, I mean, you can always go to DanRomanoMusic.com and, you know, all the others, YouTube.
Are you still using all the other things? Like
we're on there. Yeah, I mean, everybody takes in things differently, so we want to be, you know,
inclusive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's very noble of you to be inclusive. Good job. That's good. Is you're primarily active on Instagram? I would think. Is that a fair way of putting it in terms of social media things?
We're older. We don't know what's going on in the TikTok. We're taking a little peek, but. I don't know.
I've never personally seen it.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Probably for the best.
Yeah. I'll subtweet about this later. And then, and then you'll maybe gradually hear about it. If we can go out on a song. Oh, sorry. And then also You've Changed Records. People can learn more about the band and the record and how to get it at the You've Changed site. I'll link to all those things. If we can go out on a song from this new album, I wonder if we can get a collective consensus on what that song should be and maybe also why it came to mind. I'm going to go to Carson to pick the song, and then we'll. She's looking around behind her to dodge the question, I think. Carson, can
you... Yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to ask...
She's summoning an LP.
I see. Look at that. Oh, look at that handsome... album. I got to get a copy of that myself. I haven't done that. I ordered it yet. I'm going to do that. So Carson's going to, I hope, we'll pick, and then we'll all have a brief debate. Not me. I'm not going to participate. If anyone doesn't like the choice, we'll pick something else. Carson, what would you pick?
Okay. Okay, here's a question. Mm-hmm. Should I do something that's already out?
No, do something special.
Okay. I was going to go with the last track, Generation End.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm. I like that's that just a gut.
Mm-hmm. Generation End. Okay, Dan, why are you feeling so good about that?
I haven't heard it in a while.
are you?
It's somehow not one of the singles.
Are you playing it live?
No, we haven't been. We might, but
we should get it in the mix though. It's a good one.
It's so sick.
What do you suppose?
From what I remember.
What do you suppose inspired you to again not write, but say these words out loud, Dan?
Whew. I don't know, the same, you know, all this stuff we've been talking about.
It feels like it's about, it's not like my generation, but it's similar, like the song
it's
by the Who?
The antonym.
The opposite of my generation?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, I guess it's my generation, or I don't know. I don't know what generation I belong to, but I think it's more about...
What's the word for the moment that we kept hearing Viveki say? What was the...
Kairos.
Oh, yeah.
It's a kairotic generation. The kairos of the generation.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
It's sort of like a turning point.
Oh, okay. Because the core...
Cool word, right?
Yeah, I never heard that word before in my life.
It's
and I'm knowing everyone involved here, I'm not... unconvinced you didn't just make it up to fool me. But the chorus is, we're the generation end, doing the dance of death, we're the generation end. So some sort of finality here. The end of something. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, which doesn't imply nothingness. It implies beginnings. But yeah, it's, you know.
You end the song repeating the word end.
True.
As I recall. Is that right? Like there's a real...
But is it a fade out?
No.
It's not.
I don't. Oh wait, is it?
I think it's.
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, maybe
it's
it
a
is.
Fade out because that implies infinity.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I think
endlessly, and we're endlessly ending.
That's,
that's
endlessly
what
ending.
It's about. We're endlessly ending.
Just like this interview. All right, let's play it now. It's never going to end. This is Generation End from this wonderful new album, Too Hot to Sleep, by Dan Romano's Outfit. Ian and Carson and Tommy and Dan. I hope you enjoyed this. It was a pleasure for me. I always appreciate all of you making time in your lives for me. So thank you for this. Best luck with everything in the future, and I hope we talk soon.
Thanks, Vish.
Thank you.
Future, yeah, some kind of life in a
I made the mistake of enjoying a nice bowl of ice cream with my wife. The kids all scattered. Anyway, I had ice cream just before I recorded these intros, and I think the dairy got to my throat. I sound a little husky, gravelly? Do you like it, actually? You sicko? Something's wrong with my throat is what I'm saying. I don't like it. Thanks again to Daniel Romano's outfit for appearing on this, the 842nd episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available almost wherever it is you get your podcasts on the internet. If you're getting your podcasts not on the internet, please tell me. I'd like to know how you're getting podcasts that aren't on the internet. That must be interesting. If you can't find an episode that you're looking for, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, you can visit vishkana.com. You can like or follow the show on various social media platforms. But honestly, I'm trying to centralize everything at patreon.com/creativecontrol. Haven't quite started to centralize there yet, but I am adding more things there. And that's where you go to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this podcast going. Different tiers get you different things, but basically from the $4 a month tier onward, that's where the perks begin. That's where you get ad-free episodes and get them earlier than everybody else. And eventually, as you climb up the tiers, you get exclusive content. And also, you get entered into our monthly prize draws at certain tiers. So it's a little way of trying to incentivize folks to support the show. But honestly, it's the main way I make a living right now. So if you have it in your heart and in your budget to support me and the work I do, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol. I would appreciate it. Thanks again to the wonderful Alberta record retailer Blackbird Music, which you can learn more about at blackbird.ca. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, you can order records right from that website. So thanks to Blackbird for their support. Also want to thank Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario, for their in-kind support for this show. Thanks, as always, to Jim Guthrie. You can learn more about Jim at jimguthrie.org. He makes wonderful music. And finally, thank you for listening to this episode with Daniel Romano's outfit. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're a fan of the band, if you're unfamiliar with the band, well, I hope you learned some stuff that will compel you to check out their music, including their wonderful new record, Too Hot to Sleep. And I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast and follow it and tell your friends all about it and spread the word about Creative Control. Otherwise, I just hope you're well and that we interact soon. Thanks again for listening. I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.